Emerson, thank you so much for joining us. You said you have a website where folks, where you, for your work, is that's laurieemerson.com. Is that correct?
See that true and tremble.
We're a thousand miles from comfort, where to travel and to see. But as long as you are with me, there's no place I'd rather be.
Hey, it's Gracie,
Sarah, and Josie
from the Girl Scout Troop 1819, Kakasaki, Athens.
And you're listening to
WGXC
ACRA
at 90.7 FM.
Keep on being you.
WGXC welcomes audio responses and feedback from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message, and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-622-2598 and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. That number again is 518-622-2598.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Greenville Drive-In 32, a destination for movies and music under the stars of the Northern Catskills since 1959. Seasonal programming information at drivein32.com. Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Tim of New York, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
かけなパーティーでけんおまくとてんウェイウェイみちにみえウェイウェイみちにみえ
Let's go!
かけなパーティーでけんおまくとてんウェイウェイみちにみえ
From the east to the west, to the north to the south, Anishinaabe, Bayo Gitchi Da in the house. Grand entry time and we about to bring them out. Indigenous power, that's what it's all about. Not invincible cause we out loud now. Dancing through life in the powwow grounds. Let's go, you about to witness 500 years of resistance, this is it. See the instrumental be the ceremony. In my lyrics, in the microphone, the medicine. This is for my warriors and my veterans. All the native babies wrapped up in Pendleton. Yeah.
Hello, that was Thomas X, Indigenous Hip Hop, Native Son, and DJ AO. And I am Kimberly Irwin. Good evening, my friends, family, and community at large. Thank you for joining. Host of Race Talks, I am here on WGXC 90.7 FM, a wayfarm.org enterprise. Here is where we, every Thursday, third Tuesday of the month from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., have the very necessary conversation on race and ethnicity. And why talk about race? Some ask continuously. My answer remains, it is simply to combat racism. Education is key and discussion a must. And now, let's get talking, because
no topic is taboo.
Woo-hoo-hoo! You're hearing two voices. One, of course, is Garrett Roche. He is the new producer of Race Talks on WGXC on air, and he's also the host of his own podcast, The Roche Solid Truth. And you can visit that podcast on different times if you visit his website, and he can tell you more information about that, because he's also being a special guest talker today. He will join us during our round table along with my very fabulous guest, Ellen Chamberlain, who, well, I'll tell you more about who she is, but I want to say I am very pleased that she was able to be on this show, and she's one of the reasons that I thought to have a rap artist, an Indigenous or Native American rap artist, because of her amazing TEDx talk that brought up rap music. And just last year, I believe it was the 50th anniversary of hip-hop. And
yes,
to know that this spans not just cultures, nations, right? And then the Native American nations. I think in America right now, there's upwards to about 600 of them. Certainly not none that I can all mention, but in New York, I remember talking in class about being a Mohican or a Mohawk when we want to represent some of our Native American heritages in New York State and our country. So why am I mentioning Native Americans? Because this is Native American Heritage Month. And many people often say to me, like I said in the opening, why do we have to have a Native American Heritage Month? Why do we have to have these special cultural months? And I say, we don't have to. But why don't we support and celebrate members of our nation, members of our community, people who have given of their time, their energy, their life, their blood to this land that we all call home? Many of them having to give up a lot of portion of who they are and their culture and their history and their language and their food and everything that makes them who they are. Of course we should recognize them. Otherwise we just put them all in a pot, right? Remember we were talking about having a melting pot when we were in school. I remember the melting pot, and then it was the, I think now we're calling it a quilt because it's something that we take a piece of ourselves and we put it into the fabric of America, but it remains a part so it can have its own identity. And I think that's important. That's why we have race and ethnicity as a conversation, because there's one race, the human race, and many multiple ethnicities, and of course various identity. I always say every one person can represent their own ethnic identity. I mean, like, there's no two people alike. There's no two people who would support one culture or not, you know. So anyway, I thought it was really important also to talk about terms. So today's segment, what we're going to talk about is some talk terms around Native American Heritage Month. Let's just say what it is, though. In 2021, Joe Biden formally commemorated the holiday with a presidential proclamation proclaiming that this 22, 23, and 24 were going to be Indigenous Peoples Day, which is not a holiday per se where you can get a day off, but it is recognized under U.S. federal law. And I don't know exactly what that means, recognized under U.S. federal law, although we don't have a holiday for vacation for it. But again, the representation of a whole month for people who represent at least 600 nations in America is totally worthy. At least that's my opinion. And I'm believing if you're still listening to me, you probably are thinking that way too. But if not, you can also call in and tell me what you think about things, because I like to keep an open mind about things that are in transition. So, I mean, you know, Black Heritage Month Black History Month, we, you know, it went from a day to a week to then a month. And one could say, you know, we should celebrate being African-American or Black every day. And I'm certainly one to say I celebrate myself every day, but not all of us are, you know, of the same cultural background just because we can recognize one holiday as an or one month as an ethnic cultural understanding grouping. But that's not all I want to talk about. I'm also going to open the door to people who can call in according to our theme, grit and gratitude. We're Americans. We're gritty, right? We took a country and a nation that had wide open plains, and we've built many worlds on it, I would say. And not just in our culture or in our country, but across the globe. In fact, many people come to the United States because they can become a citizen, whereas in other nations, you can live there all your life and never be recognized as a citizen. So I do think thinking of ourselves as being gritty is a positive, especially one to show gratitude for, again, our land. It's not that everyone came here because they wanted to. They didn't all buy a ticket to get into the United States or get to this world, this land that we call our own country now. But again, there were people here, people residing here, using their own identity, their own desires to procreate, to have a life and to enjoy the bounties of this land that we now call home. And that's something that is in every land, you know, in every land mass, there were people who would call Aboriginal or Indigenous. So that talk term, I thought, was very interesting, how we, over time, are regarded differently, or we regard ourselves differently. So I was asked, you know, why do people call themselves African-American as opposed to Black? So my question then became, why do we call people Indigenous as opposed to Native American, as opposed to American Indian, as opposed to Aboriginal? What do these terms represent? Are they superlative, or, you know, just a special determination because over time we like to change? You know how we have young people, they change the terminology from one word meaning something bad to a word meaning something good, like Michael Jackson, if people remember back in the day, bad meaning bad or bad meaning good, right? So so terms can change, but why? And who can make that that change? Can this government entity do it? Can people in academia do it? Are people who are, I mean, I think with African American, I remember a term Afro-American having a very short shelf life. People are like, I'm not an Afro. And, you know, and then there are people like, I don't come from Africa. So I just think, again, these are terms to bring brought up and to be discussed. I cannot say I have an answer, but I can certainly share what Google answers. I mean, you can do AI for everything. So I'll just read a few things about these terms. Indigenous peoples are the original inhabitants of the Americas, the Pacific, and parts of Asia and Africa, and their descendants. But I'm going to add every land mass on the planet had people living and residing on it for some term, some long term. And so I would say that those people who are original inhabitants, they're Aboriginal, they're Indigenous. And then we have some people just specifically for North America or America where we would consider them First Nation. Alaskan Natives, for example, would be considered First Nation or Native. So then one can ask the question, is any of these terms pejorative, something that you should not use, something that's negative? And I, for one, cannot say that it is, except for the term American Indian is really no longer used. And I see Ellen's kind of shaking her head. Yes, I'm going to get Ellen in here real quick. So, because I want to hear her talk about what her thoughts are too on this. And then we have You know, so or is any of these terms ameliorative, like special, particularly great to have mentioned? Again, I'm in support of anything that can show our culture in a positive or a real light. So saying First Nation just means that these were the people first in this country, on this land that we now call America. So First Nation, I would think, is ameliorative, or at least it's factual. Native, we have a book. I remember a book called Native Son. So Native means, you know, really an belonging in that case. So I think that's a positive term. So in a way, that's ameliorative. But again, I think each person has to define for themselves what terminology they use to decide who they are ethnically. And again, we're one race, the human race. So all of these are ethnic identity terms as far as I'm concerned. And before I get to our guest today, I want to just share one thing about the title, or I should say the theme. We just had a political experience. And for some of us, we are still taking a deep breath, trying to waiting to exhale on it. And I just heard from my colleagues at WGXC 90.7 FM earlier today on the afternoon show. Reggie and Pastor Kim talk about, Reginald and Pastor Kim talk about,
Randall.
Oh, sorry, Randall, not Reginald. And Pastor Kim talk about,
Mr. Randall Martin.
Thank you. Yeah, and we were like on a show together, and how can I forget his name? Because I'm really like thinking, I'm trying not to be negative about the outcome of the election. But that's part of our roundtable today. And I just want to say that when discussing terms, I was reading about how people discuss Kamala Harris. And it was written that she was a black woman of African and South Asian descent. A black woman of African and South Asian descent. So one could say she was a woman of black and South Asian descent. So what's the difference? What's the term of being a black woman who's of African and South Asian descent, or just a woman of black and South Asian descent? Or is there any difference? So I'm probably going to ask that of you, Miss Ellen Chamberlain. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. Ellen Chamberlain has earned her bachelor's degree in broadcast journalism from Wayne State University. She's also the food and dining reporter for Commercial Appeal USA Today in Memphis. This Metro Detroit native began her career in hip-hop radio, focusing her work on black culture, lifestyle, and music. Ms. Chamberlain is also a storyteller who has written for broadcast, print, and digital publications across the country. Her TEDx talk, which I mentioned earlier, dedicated to hip-hop, is 15 minutes of pure truth, T-R-U-T-H. I capitalized it because that's how I feel about it. A must-view for all who love community and women. Especially, she taught me some stuff, so y'all, you gotta Google it. To know Ellen is to know that she spends the majority of her time ghostwriting for other storytellers, helping them get their voices heard and read in print, which is very important. We each have a story, we each have our voice, and we should be heard. Hear us roar, specifically women. She reads effusively, travels luxuriously while economically, and watches entirely too much television. Hear ye, hear ye. Me too. That was her statement, not mine. I'm not trying to throw under the bus here. Thank you, Miss Ellen Chamberlain, for being on Race Talks. Please introduce yourself a little bit more specifically to our audience. Let them know why you feel comfortable being here on Race Talks this evening.
Yes, thank you so much for allowing me to be here. Thank you for the warm introduction. And thanks so much for checking out my TED Talk. Whenever I hear that someone's actually sat and watched that, I'm always super impressed and humbled and grateful for that. I am, like you said, I am a storyteller that is primarily done through writing, but I also do some audio storytelling every now and then. a Michigan native, a nomad at heart, but currently based in Memphis, Tennessee, potentially permanently if I can actually learn what a root is. But I am such a spirit devoted to the wind and devoted to my people and finding us wherever we are on the globe and learning to experience the richness and fullness of our cultures and the things that are shared and the things that are different in that. But I've kind of been experiencing that a bit of anthropologically here in Memphis too. I've been here for about 2 months now. So I'm kind of loving this phase, this moment. So thank you again for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us again. And you mentioned just two months in Memphis?
Yeah.
Now, I lived in Kentucky, Bowling Green, which is not so far from Nashville. But I never did try to get to Memphis. So what am I missing?
Memphis is an incredible city. And as someone who grew up in the suburbs of Detroit, I see so many parallels between the two towns. What you're missing out on, number one, is the food, you know, or maybe you're not missing out. Cause I mean, I expect to be quite heavy by this time next year if I don't find a trainer very, very quickly. Right. But the food is amazing here. The music is incredible. And Memphis is actually a stop on lots of people's little like musical tours. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but especially with the TikTok generation, folks have these American music tours that they want you to go on, where of course you're checking out New Orleans, Nashville, but Memphis is a stop on that. The music here is great, from blues and jazz and R&B to hip hop and gospel. And a lot of like really big bands are rooted here, or big acts, their house bands are here. You know, the first one who comes to mind is Ella May, who is a girl out of London, but her band is a Memphis band, you know, so.
Whoa.
And just really, really great people, like that stereotypical Southern hospitality. Hey, how you doing? Are you hungry? Did you eat? Like, that's what you get when you come down here.
Well, as you were saying that, I'm thinking New Orleans. Not that I've been there either, but the flavor, the interest that you're sharing about it, it just gives me that flavor of New Orleans, and you know how they on Mardi Gras with the parades, you know, walking down the street, just music. Just blasting
very
everywhere.
Very much that. Okay. Very much. And ironically, New Orleans influences a lot of the cuisine out here, too. I've noticed that. Not necessarily New Orleans. I'll say Louisiana. Lots of Cajun and Creole folks out here.
So it's a lot of ethnic differences and diversity.
Oh, my word. This place is a melting pot. I was just talking to someone earlier today, and I said, you know, New York is the one who gets it. They did that marketing, you know, or actually, it wasn't them, it was the song. But, you know, if you can make it anywhere, you know, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. But, darling, I tell you, it's Memphis. It's not New York. You can make it here. You can make it anywhere. I truly, truly believe that. There's so many different kinds of people here. Like, just the Latin community, from Venezuelans to Hondurans, Mexicans, Puerto Ricans. And, you know, that's just the Latine community. Everybody is in Memphis.
Wow. Okay. So is there a musical, like, conglomeration of, you know, pulled from different of these ethnic groups? Have you heard anything like that?
Not that I've discovered yet. Not that at least is all encompassing. Everybody is very much in their own little communities. But what I appreciate about that is that, though I'm noticing some serious segregation, to be quite honest, in this metro area, it is seemingly done maybe with love and intention to preserve community and culture, because while there is segregation, there is not exclusion. There is nothing that says you are not welcome in this space. You are not like us, and therefore you may not be here. In fact, it's the exact opposite. The moment you step into, you know, the Venezuelan places, the Polish places, the Indian places, pick a region of India, it's represented here, you know, and the moment they see you and you don't look like them, the arms open even wider.
Now, that should just be how all of America is. Well, when you mention Memphis, you know, it's oh, on the map for many reasons. And, you know, one is because of the very famous singer that everyone says is still in the house.
it's debatable. Who knows?
Have you visited his home?
I have not been to Graceland yet. Oh. It is on my list because I hear they've got a really cool restaurant there, and I'm down to check it out. But it's also a hotel, so I feel like if I'm going to go, I want the whole experience. I want to, like, hang out.
I didn't know it was a hotel.
Stay.
I mean, so you can stay in his home, or it's just it was built on?
So the home is the museum. But yes, the land, the rest of his property has been converted to a hotel and to a restaurant.
Okay. So we have someone here, Garrett. What would be, we're going to start early, Jeopardy. Who are we talking about?
Elvis Presley. Elvis the pelvis is something.
No, who is, you've got to say it in a question.
Who is Elvis Presley?
And I'm laughing because, exactly, Garrett actually loves playing in different locations in and around Hudson. Trivia games.
Indeed. So. Union Street Brewery, Monday nights, 6:30 to 8 p.m. You're more than welcome, Ellen.
Shout out.
And anyone listening.
Ellen.
I will pop up there. Ellen. I love trivia. I am such a fan of trivia. So, yes, count me in one of these Mondays.
Awesome. Okay, well, then if you come, I'll go, too. Because I'm very competitive. I don't like to lose. And you do it too much. So you sit at a table with people, and you guys, like, win.
Usually not actually, but we come up in, like, yesterday evening we were in fifth place, but there were 10 teams there, and we being in fifth place was actually very good in comparison. Plus you're minus 2 points if you have six or more people on your team. We had about 13 on our team.
Well, you know, you have to know so many things and from all different walks of life. So right now, though, you can share with our audience how they can be part of our later conversation at the round table by calling in to ask a question of our guest Ellen or yourself or myself, or to share some thoughts that they have by, you know, what's brought up during our conversation.
Let's go for it and build this bridge of positivity, everyone. Please, 518-622-2598. Again, that is 518-622-2598. If you happen to be listening internationally, you would want to dial a 001 before the 518.
That's because we have so many people calling from international countries. Actually, I work with someone who's in Pakistan.
Invite them to make that happen.
And it's a 9-hour difference. So, you know, with our time changes, it's not always the best. I want to let also people know that because of the TEDx talk that you shared with me and that I looked at, we have as our musical interlude leaving us our program, UNITY by Queen Latifah. So like I said, you are definitely in my mind when I was making this agenda happen. Let's do one other thing. I wanted to bring up Kamala Harris again. Some of the things that I was saying, I saw you shaking your head, Ellen, so this is for you to jump right on in. You know, we're in the living room having a conversation. I don't hear many people talking about her right now as support that she was the first African American woman to have made it to that level of presidential campaign, and being that close with how many votes she's received. I think people who have supported her are kind of so despondent that they've just taken a breath. You know, like I said, they're waiting to exhale. And those who didn't, they're seemingly going full throttle at, you know, making the changes that they feel that they've been given like carte blanche to do. Like I said, UNITY, we're going to play Going Out by the Queen. Any kind of let's say recognition that you see between Queen Latifah and Kamala, or, you know, being both and I mean, like with your TEDx talk, you mentioned she became someone who others could follow, even though she wasn't the first rap female artist.
That's exactly what I was thinking about the two of them. You know, neither woman was the first. But each woman was so influential. You know, they took the torches that were passed to them. So, you know, with Queen Latifah, those are people like, you know, MC Light or Moni Love was about the same time, you know, but Roxanne, you know, women who were in hip hop before her, who she got to watch as a kid. And then she takes that mantle and she runs with it. And now she is the Dana Queen Latifah Owens who we know today. And if there were no Shirley Chisholm, we would have never had Kamala Harris, right? So I see the parallels in that way. Neither was the first, but they each took it to a level that had never been seen before. And ironically, I think that we support Latifah and we herald her a lot more, you know, Kennedy Center honors and all the things that she totally deserves. I love somebody a lot more than we're willing to say about Kamala Harris. And that is probably, in my opinion, because as much as the world in general does not necessarily respect and revere Black women, needs us and will use us and will understand our benefit of use. But the love and respect is not there always. But the love of hip hop is. And that is why I think it is easier for people to, as they say, give flowers to someone like Queen Latifah for her accomplishments, but have very little to say about Vice President Harris.
And I think that's something that was really interesting that I found when I was watching again your talk. The theme is reflecting on heritage. Queen Latifah really showed the heritage of being African American. I mean, her whole being the way what she wore. I think people were a little bit taken aback, maybe even, because it was sex sells, right? But she didn't come out in that vein.
She covered up. She had on kente cloth. She had on, you know, the big necklaces with the silhouette of the continent of Africa, you know, and it was not seen. Nobody knew what that was at that point. You know, even the girls who weren't selling sex, you know, who were completely covered like Light, they weren't all super duper Afrocentric. Like, well, who is this girl? You know, and even changing her name, you know, she could have been MC Dana O or D.O., like, who knows? But, you know, she chose the name Latifah. She chose to really rest in her African-American heritage in a way that women weren't doing at the time. We saw it from some men in hip-hop, but we weren't seeing it from the girls just yet.
And I wonder, with what they consider group thought, right? People sometimes don't have a flavor, but they will look to, I don't want to say steal, but to, what's a good word?
Be influenced.
Yeah, be influenced. Influenced and or inspired by others. And then it becomes a big thing. What do you think would become a big thing with Kamala Harris Clinton, Hillary Clinton, she made a mention of having the ceiling, you know, not breaking the ceiling, but putting a mark or a crack in the ceiling, right?
Yeah.
So clearly the crack is, there's no more crack, it's open, but still, where's the next Kamala Harris? Because we're talking about resiliency, right? How can we be resilient and utilize everything that we have? Your background is in music. Mine is in writing. Yours is in what, Garrett?
Various.
Oh,
everything from customer service to radio to
creatively
photography. Yes.
So you like pictures. And so we have music, writing, and pictures filmmaking. Here.
Pictures and filmmaking.
So I would say that we can show our resilience through what we love to do. Like, we don't have to go out of ourselves to be resilient in our efforts to feel good about who we are and to share that with others. You mentioned that, and I mentioned in your bio, that you actually help people with their voices. Can you share some of that kind of activity? How that you help people bring, I guess, their memoirs. They're talking about their life in some ways.
Most often it is memoir that people end up contracting my ghostwriting services for. But I've been all over the place, much like Garrett. You know, I've lived in white paper land with the science community. I love those kids. Love the nerds.
Yeah, that's one of those terms that became good, right? At first it was like, I don't want to be a nerd. And now it's like, it's good. Engineers.
Disney has a whole line dedicated to nerds. They've morphed all your favorite Disney characters into like people with big old square glasses like mine. And they're bobbleheads. Like, and I'm proudly a part of the nerd community myself. So, you know, hanging out with the science folks, writing things like white papers, writing romance novels and sci-fi things. But those memoirs are probably the hardest to nail. Because, you know, if you're writing fiction, everybody's got a voice. Everybody in the story has a very unique voice. And it's about, how do we develop these characters and tell them apart from one another? But if you're writing your own story, you know, it's a matter of helping that person recognize what their voice is. Mm. Often authors come to me and they don't even realize that they have a style of speech. And then we take that speech pattern and we translate it into the written word in a way that makes sense. Because as a writer, you know that writing for the ear versus writing for the eye are two different things. But we do our best to morph those verbal conversations into a finished written work.
Has there been someone that you've aided where it's harder to put your finger on that voice or that, you know, where are you going to go with the prose?
The voice, typically no, because I am exceptionally observant. I'm keen and curious. I freaking love people. So I'm just
me
like kind of into them. But what can sometimes get difficult though? Hey now.
Party in the house.
Oh yeah.
It's like figuring out what the storyline is. What is the trajectory of what you actually want to say? But I can typically pick up on how to say it fairly easily.
Well, I think we're at that time. We didn't have a ding. Okay, we are so behind the times.
Kind of a dull ding.
We need a better ding.
There we go.
There it is.
No, I still think it was dull. But okay. There it is. All right. So let's go into our next segment. But before we do that, can you share the phone number again with the audience, the listeners, so that they know how to get on air and to speak with our guest, Ellen Chamberlain, yourself, and or me?
Positively. Please go for it. 518-622-2598. Again, that's 518-622-2598. Let's make this happen. And if I may, Kimberly, just a shout out quickly to two peeps. One is Mr. Carlos Gonzalez of Hudson, New York, a former manager from work I bumped into earlier today, and he asked me to give him a shout out. He was a guest on my own Monday morning show, which I once had previously on WGXC in 2019. And also to a very new but yet very near and dear friend of mine, Callista Tarnaskis of Hudson, New York. So there you go. And one or both of them is possibly listening right now. And cheers to everyone else listening who I may know or not know, as well as Kimberly and to Ms. Ellen Chamberlain.
Woohoo! Okay.
Well, I received that.
I know. That makes me feel like I want a shout out. Well, I think I can shout out to my girlfriend's sister, Rachel Robinson, who had a birthday in November. And I went out to a party, a club for the first time in a long time to get my little groove on thankfully, so that, because when you're younger, you can do all those things, right? And then you get older and there's less places you can actually go and enjoy yourself. And in fact, this was a 35 plus party. So my niece, who had gone to dinner with a group, she couldn't attend because she's in her 20s. So we do have...
Sorry.
Yeah, but you mentioned, and I think I want to ask you right now about, you kind of seem like you know these younger people. You mentioned TikTok and maybe you can tell me some of their voice. Where's your is that E Said She Said comes part of that, or
So E Said She Said is a holdover from my former life as a radio broadcaster. It was my segment when I was doing Rumors. So instead of He Said She Said, I'm Ellen. It's E Said She Said. At this point, I'm totally an auntie, so you know, I do what I can to keep up with the kiddos. I lurk on the TikTok. I do not post despite what they would like. Oh yeah. I'm never about to. It's too much to try to figure out. I don't care. Like, if I had a young person around me who wanted to do all that for me, I would totally receive it. But I just don't care to keep up with it and to post myself that much. Like, if you follow me at E Said She Said on Instagram, all you're going to get is a whole bunch of funny, like, reels and memes on my stories, and that's about it. I keep up with the younger kids, though, like, quite literally in real life. Like, I go to schools and I go to the parks, and even as a food journalist, like, I'm interested in what they're eating. You know, hey, is school lunch whack or is it awesome? You know, who's considered old these days? Are 30-year-olds old? Oh, no, it's 21. 21 is the new old. Good. Heard. You know, and they just keep me in the loop about what's going on with them.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Age is only but a number. It tells you how long you've been breathing on the planet. That's my answer.
Right. No. Age is a
correct.
Button. So then how old are you, Garrett? No.
45, feeling 25. Thanks to my mom. To her.
Well, if you flip those numbers, you have me. what's in store at 54?
That's a good one. But you see, certainly see much, much.
Whatever.
Come on.
Well, I will say that when I'm in the classroom with young people, they usually are like, where's the teacher? They think
that's
I'm
the way.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Gotta love that.
Because I'm always dancing to, you know, you gotta like keep moving. And like I said, I have a check myself paradigm that I want to share with the listeners to create, motivate, and stay the course. Create for yourself. So, like, Ellen has mentioned, she helps people with their voice. I help people with the written word. You take photos of beautiful things. During this time, if you're feeling a little out of sorts because of the election with an S in front, then be creative. Stay motivated. One way of staying motivated is to bring other people into your lane. Don't you know how they say stay in your lane? I don't think you should. I think you should maybe, you know, you can put your foot on somebody else's lane and, you know, enjoy that, you know, maybe that food in Memphis, right? You can go to these other people's place of where they're eating and having fun time. And you might not feel comfortable initially, but like if you're in Memphis, Ellen said, they're going to open their arms and say, hey, you're not from here, but let us share with you our culture. Let us share with you our food. Let us help you enjoy yourself while you're around us. I think that, you know, that's the best way. So if you stay in your lane, then you're not going to be visiting all those wonderful places possibly. And to stay motivated, that means sometimes you're going to fall down. You might get tired. To stay the course, you then have to reach out and have that other person help you when you're tired, and when they're tired, you reach out and you help them. And that's for whatever's going on. I know as far as I'm concerned, you know, when I think of the political feelings that people have with what's going on, I can feel really unhappy since this person who is now will be president is not someone I voted for, because I am a firm believer that if you behave and act and say things in a racist manner, then you are proliferating racist ideology and racism. Then I don't need to call you a racist. You're acting in that vein. And for me, especially being on a show called Race Talks, that's someone that I could not see representing me in the world. I was in Europe when George Bush was president, and I did not vote for George Bush, but I wasn't when someone mentioned George Bush to me, I was able to say, oh, yeah, he's the president of a country, right? Because he's reflecting me at, because I'm an American. I'm an African American, but I'm an American. So he was my president. So, of course, I'm going to then, if I go abroad, and actually, I mentioned I was talking to people in Pakistan. So there's one Pakistani did ask me about, you know, the presidential choice of the country. And I mentioned that, yeah, he didn't know what to really say and how to bring it up because he didn't know if I was a supporter or not. And I'm like, well, no, I did not vote for this person. And I felt really comfortable saying it. I think if you feel good about, I mean, the person who runs our country, we should feel good about voting for that person. I mean, I don't see anyone should, I don't think anyone should feel really bad about voting for someone that they want to have represent them in as a, you know, our head of our nation. And if you don't, you know, like I know that one person I just read or heard him speak, Cuomo. Let's see, what's his name? Chris Cuomo, I think his name is. He mentioned he wrote in his brother's name. So he didn't even, you know, so if, I mean, I see, I was like, what's going on there? So, but again, he felt quite comfortable saying that, right? So I think it's really important for us to have a conversation and then not to point fingers, but to be very curious about what's going on and state who and what you are, because we are a group of people who are occupying a space called America, United States of America, and we are not doing our forefathers, the women, the our grandparents, you know, the people who have gone before us, and we're not showing them any value for what they've gone through if we don't utilize our voices, which they fought hard for us to have, especially the right to vote. So with that said, I want to ask you the first question with regard to our game. Okay, for both of you, whoever wants to answer, you know, first, what are the initials of Kamala Harris's father?
Her husband, not her sister, her dad?
Yes, but I can give you a hint. I just mentioned somebody. Mentioned somebody whom you probably wouldn't believe it's actually the same name. It's not just the initials, it's the same name.
It's not George Bush. I don't know.
No, but you're getting close. You're getting close.
JWB? JHB?
No.
Wait, no, that wasn't. What was Bush? What that Bush? HW. That's who he was. He was George HW Bush.
HW.
Yeah.
Okay, think current. That's my hint. You were close when you said that president, but think currently. Current.
I got nothing because I also know it's not Donald Trump. So,
yes, it is.
Tell me it's not.
DT. Donald John.
DT.
Yes. Okay. Can you believe that? Kamala Harris's father has the same initials as Donald J. Trump.
Well, look at that. Okay.
So when, oh, well, someone says, guess the president's last name. Okay. So I was surprised when I saw
that's
that.
Something.
Yeah. All right, so no one got points for that one.
Fair enough.
I think the second question. Oh, well, the second question is kind of easy because I think I mentioned it earlier. Okay. name a Native American tribe or nation. From
what you said, Mohawk.
That I haven't said.
Well, Seminole.
Okay. Oh, see, you were too slow.
I'm sorry. Okay. Native American tribe or nation from New York or from anywhere?
Okay, anywhere.
Abenaki.
Spell it.
Well, there's
the fact that, I have to look it up. I mean, there's 600. I don't know them all. So.
A-B-E-N-A-K-I. But that's the phonetic spelling.
Well, okay. Karen, that's not helpful. one good reason about having this is so we can recognize that we don't know everything. We don't learn a lot of this stuff in a school. Yeah. But we can certainly, you know, get out of our lane. Go and seek this kinds of information. I know that when we were hearing the intro music,
yes,
he mentioned powwows. There are many nations, many states have open visitations for powwows, and you know, and I don't know, Native American lands or whatever. And I know
I attended one in Rosendale, New York.
You did?
Over a year ago. Yes.
See, I've never gone to one, and I'm saying, you know, get out of your own lane. And I've never gone to one, so I'm going to go. That's going to be on my list.
Actually, apologies. I was at a powwow in Delaware County, New York, but I was in Rosendale, New York, down in Ulster County at a wampum celebration as well.
Mm. Well, I had a Native American invite me to one, and I wasn't able to go that time. And that's the thing. I kind of like being invited to things, like, you know, invited to the birthday parties, invited.
Me too. I was invited to those.
But I'm going to say, we don't wait for that to happen. Just, you know, seek them out. I'm going to seek one out.
Yeah, those international festivals.
Absolutely.
The festivals that are dedicated to specific groups. Oh, my gosh.
Put yourself out there. Yeah.
And you mentioned Polish people being in Memphis. I lived in Brooklyn, and the Polish-American store that had the best bread.
Listen.
We have a Polish deli here in Hudson.
Oh, okay.
I bet you it is spectacular. Like, I was trying, somebody asked me recently, like, is it racist if you say you only want certain food from certain people? And I was like, no, it is celebrating and appreciating the authenticity. Like, I'm sorry, I'm just not gonna get a pierogi I'm just not gonna trust a pierogi as much from, you know, somebody like one of my cousins made it versus the Polish folks, right? Like, can we do a good job? Can we be taught? Can we learn it? Yeah. But did your babushka teach you how to do that? Then I don't know if I want it. Like, I like the real stuff.
I know. But is pierogi, okay, so I love pierogies, but are pierogies the same as, like, what's that Chinese, with the same stuff that they put in the Chinese?
The dumplings?
The dumplings.
Steamed dumplings.
Are they the same?
No.
Okay, because I say I don't like that, but I'm like, if they're like pierogies, I probably would like them, but they're not.
Well,
like,
they're both a form of dumpling, but the flavor profile is so different.
Okay. Because I love pierogies.
Yeah, because I love a good cheese one. Yeah. And I like Asian dumplings, but I like the dumplings that are fried on one side, like the sticky dumplings. So they pop them in the pan, let them sear, then add a little bit of water and cover the pan so that the tops steam while the bottoms get crispy. Those are my favorite dumplings. But I like the little bao dumplings and all. Asians have really good soup dumplings. Good food.
What's inside these dumplings?
Whatever you like. So I don't eat pork, so I always have to ask, like, hey, now, what kind is this guy? Because if it's a pork dumpling, I got to leave it alone. But sometimes it's, like, aromatics, like leeks and carrots and broth and maybe a little bit of chicken, maybe a little bit of duck. Sometimes it's really just veggies. And it makes me very, very happy.
Well, now I know why you're saying you're going to have water. And my stomach's already growling.
Clearly I'm a foodie.
You are on Race Talks. Oh, I thought that was a phone call. In when they said what, I guess we have a wrong number.
Oh, okay. Goodness.
Well.
Oh, they're trying again.
I wonder what the gremlins have to say to us this evening.
I don't know. You're the one that's supposed to be answering the phone calls, Garrett.
Would you like me to?
Well, I don't know. Can it... Hello? You're on Race Talks.
This is coming from your phone, though, Kimberly, not the WGXC phone. 518-622-2598. We have...
Kim, it's Kylie Irwin. What's going on right now?
6 minutes.
Oh, okay. It was on the phone. It was on the computer, so I thought that we're coming in.
No, it's on your phone, Kimberly.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, we're not going to answer that again. She said she was Kylie Irwin. That's my cousin calling in. It rang on the computer. Okay, so I wanted to mention there is Forever. One of the things that we have on WGXC's website about you, Garrett, is that you will be on hand to bring your signature insight and truth to the table. And you had mentioned something to me earlier about how you felt about the election.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kimberly. I believe this is the best opportunity, and like you were saying earlier about getting out of your lane, and we're speaking about celebrating all these different cultures and foods, and I don't think there's ever been a need for human bonding amongst anyone and everyone, all ethnicities, etc., than now, because the point is, who do we get up and see each day in the morning? We don't see the heads of state every day. We see our friends, our families, our neighbors. That's what matters first and foremost. And there's many out there who are attempting to basically make positivity, happiness, and joy illegal, and really the old cliche, divide and conquer. And my mom used to say, kudos to you, Maggie Roach. she would say, you know, what people in power giveth, they can also taketh away. So that's something to remember. And that's why if we are there for each other and treat each day and treat each other as a celebration and really bond. And it's happening more and more and more instead of being, you know, a lot of dissension and tension and at each other's throats. That's what the powers glory in that want to divide and conquer. So that's why there's never been more of a need for peace, love, and positivity than now, and celebrating and singing and dancing and food, etc.
In Memphis and other places. We have 1 minute left for you, Ellen, to share with our listeners something about you, how they can get in contact with you, how you know, your favorite anything, whatever you want to say.
Yeah, so I am available. I am on the interwebs on Instagram at he said, she said at Gmail. It's really easy to find me. Trust me, all the spam people do. You should too. I am available for ghostwriting, to answer questions, interviews, panel discussions, all the fun things, and as always, to help you edit your stories and for any fun conversations. I dig this, and I'm so grateful to you for the show in general, because it's necessary, and for allowing me to be here with you both today. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Ellen. And it won't be your last time, because Race Talks is, I like to say, we're taking it on the road. But we're definitely going to be visual in doing it, because we have a lot of people who want to be guests, and I'm actually on WGXC once a month. I don't know if we're going to be able to maneuver more than once a month, but we can certainly take it to YouTube. And so I would let listeners know when we do that. And if you want to know or get more information on Ellen, you can visit www.kimberlyirwin.me as Mom Edwards. Okay, so we're almost out of time. I want to say my two words today, and maybe you guys can share words of wisdom. It's forever forward. May we never go back. Forever forward are my two words. Or my words of wisdom. Have you words of wisdom?
I'm actually wearing a cap right now with a pin on it that has a U-turn shape with an arrow with a red line through it, meaning no U-turns, only moving forward.
Oh.
The pin was given to me by Terry Fugate Wilcox, who sadly passed away about a week and a half ago, who's a great, incredible artist of actual art at Shakespeare's Fulcrum on Warren Street.
R.I.P. Hudsonian. And what about you, Ellen, before we listen to you and I.T.Y.?
Yes. To that I say for all of us, may the odds be ever in our favor.
Oh, I love that. Okay, let's listen to the Queen. Thank you for joining us. Love, beauty, joy. See you next month.